From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Wednesday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Good show coming today. We are going to talk with Barrett Salee of Sirius XM Radio. A lot of Hugh Freeze, a lot of Ole Miss, a lot of college football with Barrett coming up here in a little bit. Really great week, too. Also coming the rest of the week, Mike Dettillier tomorrow. He is a football sponge. He knows pretty much as much about football as I know about anything else in my life, including probably myself. So we're going to speak to Mike tomorrow on the show. So really good stuff. Also, we got anything else scheduled? Are we good for sure? Where are we at?
Andy Staples okay. On Friday. We'll tape it tomorrow.
In case something burns down on Thursday night, just letting you know.
Letting you know. We'll run on Friday. We're running Mike Dettillier tomorrow, as you said, who really makes me feel inadequate.
Just as a person, yeah.
Generally.
Yeah.
I'm convinced with Dettillier, I could say, so Grand Canyon State.
Give it a shot.
Backup offensive line, tell me strengths and weaknesses.
He's good.
I have zero doubt he'd know something. Zero. Zero doubt. I could say Pittsburgh State defensive secondary, go. And I think he could give me something.
Might should be a podcast thing when we get into the fall and the actual football season. We can do a kind of a Stump Dettillier segment.
Oh, God, that'd be fun.
Just try to.
If you'd like to sponsor Stump Dettillier, let us know, and we'll throw it at him and make something happen. That'd be fun to say, okay, Mike, nothing's in front of you.
Yeah.
Rutgers backup linebackers, go.
Give me something.
I bet he could name one. I bet he could name one.
Yeah. All right. News on the site this morning, rebelgrove.com. Read it there. As we said yesterday, we at first had to actually use the same picture. We were really struggling with some generic photos this morning. I've since remedied that issue, but picture doesn't matter. It took us a little while to learn that. Back when we first started, it was like, hey, we got to get some art here. We got to just give them information. Hamburgers. A little bacon, a little cheese would be great, but anything past that, it's a little overkill. Headline, Rebel Rags, Warren, demand NCAA retract, quote, slanderous charges in amended NOA. Neil writes that, where essentially the attorneys for Rebel Rags are telling Mike Sheridan, telling the NCAA might want to back off, and there's kind of an underlying or else to that. So we'll discuss that and more today on the podcast, as we've been telling you about for a couple days now, especially on the Beer Garden. Another one of those coming up with John Hamm, the salary cap maestro for the NBA. Also talking a lot of trading deadline, free agency stuff. So
if you like NBA offseason at all, you'll love this. And for those of you that are worried that I launch into Thunder, I don't get to the Thunder until 40 minutes in. So if you don't want to hear a Thunder podcast, don't worry about it. This is not
Thunder Buddies.
A Thunder Buddy podcast. No, yeah. Sir. This is all around. Kristaps Porzingis a lot. A lot of stuff.
So that will be up on the site here in a little bit. It is sponsored by the Oxford Crystals. We've been telling you, when you head on over to Oxford Exxon, Oxford Crystal, now you get the slushes, you get the lime, the green lime, you get the grape, or a couple options there. Sorry, green apple, not lime. It is lime colored, but it is green apple. Or the grape for a good price, as well as the hand-spun milkshakes. They got chocolate, they got Oreo, got more there if you'd like to get a little sweet tooth, get a craving in. I'd probably go for the milkshake, and they'll probably go for the slush. But either way, those are at the Oxford Crystal and the Oxford Exxon. Plenty cards, lunch specials, and more with those. Also, still the presenting sponsor of the You Gotta Believe Football Camp, July 6th, 7th at Jackson Academy. You can find out more at ygbfootball.com. A lot of former Ole Miss players, a lot of Mississippi athletes taking part in that, including Dante Moncrief, Channing Ward, I saw has been added, Quincy Adebojo, Mike Hilton, Sinquez Golson, and more. So check those out. And we're coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900 is the number. ClarkFordInc.com is the website. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours, and then it's up to you. You can take the quote, shop it for months if you'd like, whatever. Or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many people, listeners to this podcast from all over the South. We've been telling you from Missouri to the Gulf Coast, all over Mississippi, Texas to Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, all of you. We appreciate it. So does Clark Ford. But it's easy. They take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's right to the bottom line. It's easy, no haggling. You get to talk to Corey. Life's good. Get great service after the sale, and, of course, you get a great Ford product. And all you have to do, make it even better. At the end of the deal, right before everything's all finalized, say, hey, Corey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Beer Garden podcast. Either one, $500 off the bottom line, Clark Ford in Amory. That number again, 662-257-1900.
So, we'll dive into this a little bit. Again, read it at rebelgrove.com. And it's just kind of more of the same. We've been just getting more details and more details and more details into this suit and the reasons for that. And again, you'll hear from Barrett in a minute. And at one point, Barrett, and while he says that it's applicable because they're trying to save their business, I mean, Rebel Rags is disassociated. That's the end of their business, most likely.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it hurts it badly.
But it used a couple things about how, you know, on the face, I think petty was a word used and some other adjectives. The amount of detail, if all accurate, is what startles me into thinking that it's not anything really with a negative connotation, because as you wrote this morning, and there's been correspondence between the attorneys for Rebel Rags and the NCAA and Sheridan, it just doesn't make sense. Nothing plays out when you read this trying to find a system or trying to find truth in this. I mean, first off, so Lindsey Miller says that Tunzel got $400 of merchandise. Leo Lewis says he gets a gift card for $400. And Kobe Jones says $2,000.
$2,000 over 5 to 6 trips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number one, that math's a little weird, just from a type of player standpoint. No offense to Kobe, but I mean, we're talking about two top whatever prospects. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff. Here's how I know. Because when the Cubs won the World Series,
you bought a lot of stuff.
The next day, when I sort of sobered up, I started just ordering.
Chapstick.
Ordered Chapstick. Ordered everything I could think of.
You ordered Chapstick.
I did. I mean, I was giddy.
Mm-hmm.
Giddier than the giddiest schoolgirl on Giddy Day. And I didn't order $2,000.
That's a lot.
I mean, I ordered... Man, I got World Series champion stuff everywhere, on everything, and I didn't.
You do have a gorgeous print suddenly in the Clark Ford studio.
It's very pretty. It's from the game I attended.
So you put a loss up on the wall.
Yeah, but you had to be there.
Okay. So anyway, okay.
I mean, my point is that's a lot.
So we got all that going on.
So
and then,
if I'll finish with that. If anybody, Kobe Jones, Chase Parm, or anybody else, walks out of a retail place like Rebel Rags with $2,000 of stuff, it's a lot of stuff. Someone's going to notice, hey, Chase, you got a bunch of bags there, buddy.
Well, it goes beyond the, hey, let's just hand out a couple T-shirts. And like, that's got to be $2,000's got to be documented somewhere. That you would think, I mean, I have no retail experience whatsoever, but logic tells me that would be the case.
Look, if you told me that all over the country there were places that kids could go and they could get a T-shirt, maybe the T-shirt's free.
I'd say duh.
Maybe the T-shirt is, instead of being $30, it's $20.
Duh.
I get it. Okay.
It's life.
Yeah. I mean, is there a place?
There'll be somewhere that Neil McCready could go in and get a shirt for $20 that was on for 30.
That's possible. But certainly, if I look like a football player,
you've gotten perks. I mean, yes, let's just
sure,
get real here.
Sure. So that's life.
Yeah.
Now, if you're worked up about, you know, a kid goes to visit Tuscaloosa and maybe there's a place he can go and get a free Roll Tide T-shirt. If that bothers you, screw you, man. Come on. But $400 worth of stuff, that's noticeable. Stores don't give away that much stuff. You start eating into your pocketbook.
So, correspondents talking about how, I mean, and this has been known for a while. It's not new, but Jones and Lewis had referred to security tags on merchandise as evidence and reasons for things. Rebel Rags doesn't use that. They both had an employee named Emily, says that in court documents, the Rebel Rags has never employed a person with the name Emily. And then the other part that's maybe the biggest thing to me is this kind of goes along with Ole Miss's response, where they had all those, the little box, the graphic thing with all the checks about all the people who did not go along with his story. This says that there's affidavits included from Warren, Desiree Polingo, which is Laramie Tunzel's mother.
Yes.
Randy Carlisle, Starkville coach. Rebel Rags employee Scott Bush. A couple Oxford-based accountants, Peggy Card and Edward Awney. And also detailed receipts and sales records from Rebel Rags for the dates in question. When the response came out, our first thought when you and I were talking as we were skimming through all those allegations was, wow, Rebel Rags has a good case here. Yeah. And as that is going on, it seems to be better and better and better as the evidence, if all accurate, is true as presented. It's not petty. It's defending yourself with a lot of ammunition behind you.
Yeah, and in defense of Barrett, by the way, who uses that, he's not here. He doesn't understand some of the nuance and of it all. So if you're going to hold that against
him. I mean,
not you. You out there in podcast land, if you're going to hold that word.
That was more of a defense of Barrett, of trying to explain the
context. If you're going to hold the word against Barrett, you're taking this way too personally. Two things. One, this is very clearly a message from the attorneys, Rebel Rags et al., to the NCAA. You should take this out. It's a bad allegation. It's not valid. It's slanderous. Our names are out there now. Pat Forty wrote the name. Congratulations. I mean, everyone knew it. But regardless, it's out there. Damage has been done. You need to publicly withdraw this. Now, the flip side of that is, we being Rebel Rags, know you're not. So we're letting you know now that we're going to go forward and we're not going to stop and we're going to deposition under oath a lot of people, and God only knows what they say under oath.
Yeah, just to clear that up again too, we talked about it the day of. It says John Doe's 1 through 15. That doesn't mean there have been 15 John Doe's classified. It means they have the ability to add as needed.
Yeah, there could be 17 John Doe's. There could be 6 John Doe's. I mean, people get hung up on who are the 15. Well, it doesn't work like that, really.
It just means, hey, it's more shit's coming is what it means.
Yeah, we're going to sue a bunch of dudes. We're going to depose a bunch of people under oath.
Correspondence seemed really detailed for an ambulance chaser. I'm just saying.
Yeah. The Merkels don't seem like. Yeah, no.
Be a really big ambulance, I think.
One big ass ambulance. And who knows? Maybe there's big ambulances like that. I don't know. I mean, who am I to question? This case, man, it's got a chance to get fascinating because let's say it rolls forward. Realistically, and this isn't, I'm going to say this, this isn't criticizing Kobe Jones and Leo Lewis here in this limited capacity. They're going to do what everyone does in these deals, and that's kick the can down the road as far as you can kick it. So, in other words, that can's going to get kicked. Probably down the road past the point where Ole Miss meets in front of the Committee on Infractions. So does the presence of this lawsuit have an impact? Look, everyone wants, you want answers today. I want answers today. we're really not going to get our first real answer, barring something changing, until the NCAA files its response to Ole Miss's response.
Yes.
When that response comes out, if the Rebel Rags allegation is not in it, well, then we got our answer. If the Rebel Rags allegation is in it, well, now it goes to the committee, and does the committee look at this lawsuit and sort of say, so what's up with this? Or do they ignore it? Do they do the whole standard thing of, these are the charges, and this is the penalty, and bang, bang, we're out, at which point the world burns down? From a standpoint of, what does Ole Miss do with Rebel Rags at that point? Does Ole Miss disassociate because that's what you have to do when you've been charged with this severe level one? What do they do? I don't know. I don't know any of these answers.
At this point, they have not been punished.
Right.
From a booster standpoint.
Ole Miss disputes the allegation as well.
Yes.
Now, they don't dispute it. They dispute it. The Rebel Rags has come out and said, we're going to fight. And so, when the lawsuit moves forward, and keep in mind, the lawsuit is separate from the NCAA proceeding. When the lawsuit moves forward, and the they start deposing these people under oath with the threat of civil action, what do those people say? What does Leo Lewis say? Does he say, yeah, I'm sticking with my story? Or does he start saying, well, it's not really what happened.
I didn't really mean that.
Who told you what to say? Does he answer that question? Because that's a really fascinating question if it gets answered.
How's Mullen respond to this at Media Day when he's asked about it? I can't comment.
I'm here to talk about my football team.
Whatever you do, don't give a predicate.
I'm here to talk about my football team. Not talking about what's going on with other football programs. I'm here to talk about my football team. Really excited about my football team.
Is Leo Lewis's status changed with any of this going on?
If you're Mississippi State, you got to be careful here. Here's the problem with Mississippi State. Lewis has immunity to date.
School doesn't.
School doesn't. Lewis said under oath, or not under oath, Lewis told the NCAA that he got 10 grand.
11 grand.
Whatever. Here's one little thing. It's a little quick aside. Even y'all, if it's 1 grand, it's a level one.
Yeah, the actual amount is more just for sex appeal. It doesn't really have any bearing on anything
else.
Absolutely.
So, but Lewis told him he got money.
It's part of Ole Miss's problem that they were able to prove the other payments from a booster instead of just the big lump sum crap. It's still a problem.
Ole Miss's problem with that particular charge is the damn text. The text looks so damn bad that it's
hard. Even without the proof that it went to Lewis.
Yeah, it's just the text is such a bad look.
Well, the NCAA tries to prove that the one text shows a systemic pattern.
One doesn't show systems, but regardless, we'll go down this rabbit trap a lot of times.
We got a day or two.
Yeah, we've got some time. But from Mississippi State standpoint with Lewis, he told the NCAA he got money. So if the NCAA is going to view Lewis as a reliable witness, they have to view that part as reliable. Who gave him the money? Mm-hmm. Was it us? Was it our boosters? Because if it was, maybe we don't need to play him. I don't know. We'll see. It's fascinating. But if I'm Dan Mullen, I'm not saying jack in Birmingham.
No Hablo Inglés.
No idea what you're talking about.
What lawsuit?
Lawsuit? Man, I'm studying football 25 hours a day.
That's all I got going on.
Who's the president now? Is today Election Day? Nick said something about Election Day. What a joke.
I got some new Adidas on.
Yeah. Check out my new shoes.
We're going to go Sbarro when we leave. That's
Yeah. Aren't I funny?
I got nothing against Sbarro, actually. Yeah, you're okay. In the food court. It's worse things.
There's a worse thing than a slice of Sbarro pizza when you're hungry and there's nothing else. It's better than that, like Chinese in the food court.
The Magic Wok, I believe, was the one in Tupelo.
Yeah, where you just don't know how long that's been there.
You don't trust the orange chicken and the pineapple sauce.
Just don't know how long that's been there.
Or what it was yesterday.
Ruff.
Say that. Oh, man. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Siddle County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also, the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. Ask Jason about the floating down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can contact him at 662-234-2704 or online by email, JLOWE at communitymtg.com. I did it just yesterday. So check him out. Contact him either of those places.
It leads to a lot of questions, but we'll get to those at another time.
Okay.
Registration for Oxford Park Commission Youth Soccer for the fall 2017 season currently going on through July the 7th. The cost is $55 per child. There's a multi-child discount available. Age range is 4 to 16, classified via year of birth. This year's season begins late August, runs through October. Schedules will be posted 2 weeks before the season begins. Games are played at FNC Park. To learn more, go to oxfordparkcommission.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. Happy anniversary to Gene and Sandy Grass today, the owners of Grenada Nissan. Fantastic people. Great friends of this site, of this podcast. Happy anniversary to both of you. You can make their anniversary better and get a great car deal as well. If you're in the market for a Nissan, go to Grenada Nissan. It's a place to go. I've done it. Great car buying experience. Great products, whether you're looking for a new, previously owned, or leased Nissan. It's all there. Grenada Nissan, GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chase Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. John knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch. This time of the year, it's snapper and cobia, the most popular trips to take. Snapper season in Mississippi waters goes through Labor Day. If you're doing an inshore trip, a quick little inshore trip, speckled trout, triple tail are very much in plentiful these days. You can take advantage of those. John knows where to get you there. To reach John, it's tunachasacharters.com. You can go to his Facebook page or you can call 228-348-7817. The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. He's an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent, been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better. His site is harryalexander.com. You can send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com.
So there'll be probably something else soon, as there appears to always be. But again, you can read about that there at rebelgrove.com. Yesterday, today, God knows what tomorrow will...
No telling, man. No telling.
You don't think it's done by any means?
No.
More coming.
Yes.
Like I
said...
don't
know when. Look, again, I'm going to say this again because I know, man, there's this rumor out there that might have legs that lawsuits are coming tomorrow or whatever. Okay, yeah, but lawsuits are probably coming at some point.
If you say lawsuits are coming tomorrow, you're going to eventually be right.
Yeah. But here's the thing. A lot of lawsuits could go away if the NCAA's response to Ole Miss changes.
Yeah, if it has any staggering to it whatsoever.
So that's the next big story. When people say, well, what's the next big thing? That's the next big thing, and it's coming at the end of July. That's the next big thing. And then after that, if the NCAA sticks to their allegations, if the NCAA comes out and says, yeah, we saw your response, we're sticking with all of it. See you in Indy. Well, now war comes.
Yeah.
But until then, it's just kind of hard to get. I realize lawsuits are sexy and stuff to talk about. I'm not belittling them at all, not any. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I still contend there's no way in the world there are depositions with Lewis and those guys next month.
I'd be shocked.
It would go against standard attorney practice.
Yes. They're going to, quote, hire attorneys soon.
And then need more time.
And the attorneys are going to have time to prepare.
Yeah.
Kick the can down the road.
Just keep kicking.
Yeah, sure, you kick. I mean, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
I would want my attorney to kick the can.
Just a quick aside here. I was talking to an attorney buddy of mine yesterday, and he brought up a really good point that I'm kind of embarrassed I hadn't thought about for the most part. This Patino thing, Louisville. It's a lot of outrage about how you could allow this to happen. A lot of outrage. I mean, completely warranted. I don't mean that in a minimizing way. A lot of outrage about Patino knowing or not knowing. Where's more outrage, though, just from a standpoint of common human decency? Any type of adults in the room? And here's the kicker that he brought up. What if the sexes had been reversed? What if it had been a women's team that had male prostitutes brought in? There would be so much legal action right now that your head would be spinning.
Yeah.
Just food for thought.
It is.
There's that societal thing where it's almost kind of cute because it's male to female.
You know, and why aren't some of the players blamed? I'm not taking any blame away from Louisville. I think they ought to be fried for it. But I think Patino should be out of a job, frankly.
It's another thing where the NCAA is so used corrupt, used whatever adjective you want. I don't really care. It's playing the role of, well, but what competitive advantage did they get? It's like, yeah. Screw you.
Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah.
I mean,
Baylor, Tennessee, Louisville.
I know this will draw like there's guys out there that are super machismo and stuff. You know, oh, come on. If I'd gone on a visit to a school and you'd run me into this dark room or whatever, and here are these prostitutes dancing, and you say, hey, you can have your pick, I'd like to think that I'm out of there. I'd like to think that I'm raising a son that would get out of there and would say, this is not the place for me.
And certainly outside the moment when you get back to Ruston and you get home, you go, what was that?
Yeah, I would get home and go, what was that? Were there no family members that these guys could tell, hey, here's what happened to me at Louisville? Which almost begs the question, does that happen everywhere?
Because you go on other visits and you talk to other prospects, you go, hey, you been to Louisville?
Yeah.
I went to Kentucky and they did this.
These guys all play AAU and stuff. You're telling me they never talk about, hey, so I went on this trip to Louisville and so.
Yeah. You mean Tiffany?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, I went there too. I saw that. I mean, I know there's some players that went, hey, sex.
Yeah.
But weren't there also players that looked at that and went, man, this is not, no.
It's uncomfortable.
This is not good. You want me to do what right now? Really? I mean, I don't know. There's something missing in that whole story.
Well, I mean, he was hid so well. Rick had no idea.
No
players stayed quiet.
No, nobody knew. Nobody talked. Nobody would talk about something as salacious as prostitution, lap dances, and sex on official visits.
In dorm rooms.
Never. No way. An assistant coach taking you to a room full of strippers and saying, take your pick. Yeah, no, that would never get talked about.
Supposed to talk to him later today. Another off-field move on Ole Miss's baseball staff, Brett Huber. Headed back closer to home in the St. Louis area. He is rejoining the St. Louis Pirates, very successful summer league travel team, whatever you want to call them. I never know exactly what to call those guys. But doing that, then also working through some pitching lab, kind of a performance center thing as well up there. So good spot for him. I mean, just keeping it real, until you get on field as one of the two main assistants, the pay's not very good. There's going to be a lot of turnover in those jobs. There's nothing to this point that puts my antenna up on he or Ben Fleming and the departures having some program issue by any means. I think it's just guys that got opportunities because, I mean, I was reading today from a UNCW beat writer that retweeted me that said Ben Fleming was being put in charge of every Wilmington sport from a strength standpoint.
At some point, money is a factor for people.
Yeah, so it gets Brett close to home. Again, I'm supposed to talk to him later today. I'll tell you more when I do speak with him, but so far, couple moves, nothing out of the norm really whatsoever, other than the fact that there's probably some stability on the staff because most of the time ops guys hang around in case it leads to an on-field position, and that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
So where are we over that? Just a quick bit of news. Chad Simmons has a story up on the site with a Georgia corner if you would like a little recruiting. Russell with some nuggets as well. So a little bit of everything on the message board and on the site at Rebel Grove. .com this morning. Let's see. We'll go to Barrett in a minute. before we do that, how about our boy Marcel Frazier yesterday, Neil?
Fill me in.
Yeah, you know, Missouri defensive end.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
All right. Had a good year last year. He was, I think, second on the team in sacks behind Charles Harris, the guy that went to the NFL.
Sure.
He tweets out yesterday, quote, "I will not be available to any local media this season. I gain nothing from it. I am still an amateur, not binded to do interviews," and in parentheses, "yet." Frazier does, too.
He will when he goes to the NFL. He has to.
To tell the whole story, before this, he had tweeted, "The writers get such a kick when MU athletes are arrested, almost as though it's a chance for them to reinforce their beliefs. Teenager with a beer is covered like Watergate. Frat spiking drinks, committing assault, and encouraging underage drinking is a non-story." Assault's a non-story. Okay. But the boy, what's the guy's name? Odom? Is that the coach at Missouri now?
Yeah.
But he had a good morning when he woke up and saw all this. They think he might have been referring to a Missouri basketball player, an incoming freshman, Jeremiah Tillman, who was arrested on possession charges Friday morning. If you're the media here, you say, okay. You ignore him. Ignore him the whole year.
Okay. Have no interest in talking to you.
This is not a media discussion as much as it's a... The school should go, hey, bud, you're on scholarship. You're going to go say nothing for 3 minutes. That's what should happen.
It'd be interesting
to
see
what
happens.
You are an amateur, but you're not an amateur.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens because his stance, I guarantee you, will be popular with a lot of these kids.
Of course. I mean, it's cute right now. That's why they're all doing it. You all see these hashtag no interviews.
No interviews.
Respect my decision.
Respect my decision. Dude, I don't care about your damn decision. I'm not respecting it or disrespecting it. You're a 17-year-old kid picking a college. It's your damn decision. I don't care.
Respect my decision. I'm going to release a top 10 next week. All right.
Okay. So when you pull this stunt, my deal is, all right, I'm not going to write a word about you for the next 3 years. Hashtag respect my decision. Don't get a DUI.
Now, he just said local, so when college game day comes to him, he's game now.
Oh, and when they come to do the feel-good story about felt mistreated by local media. Music in the background. Oh, he'll do that interview.
Tom Rinaldi.
Missouri needs to figure out how to handle this in the best way for everybody because the adversarial deal with the media, I know it's cute. It rarely works.
You have to play at some point. Look, if you light up the scoreboard, nothing the media says can hurt you in the slightest.
Here's where people get it wrong. When you go adversarial with the media, good media doesn't treat you like an adversary. No. But you lose. What you lose is the personal connection that gets good media to sometimes go, you know what, I'm going to give this kid the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give him a break. I don't want to rip this kid. I don't want to write something negative about this kid. He's a nice kid.
Good dude had a bad day.
Good dude had a bad day. I mean, I'm going to give you an example, y'all. There were times last year, it was a game, I can't remember, Auburn maybe? Evan Ingram dropped a touchdown pass. Is that right?
I remember his worst game being Arkansas, but he may have dropped the ball against Auburn. I don't remember.
He dropped the ball against Auburn. And Evan, for 4 years... could not have been better with media. A+. A++. Was Evan Ingram perfect? Oh, I'm sure Evan has a skeleton in his closet somewhere. But everyone on that beat respected Evan. And I'm not talking about the fan guys that are going to love everybody that wears an Ole Miss uniform.
Everybody liked
that. I'm talking about the legitimate reporters on that beat. That day, when he came in there, tears in his eyes and stuff, nobody wrote, Evan Ingram cost Ole Miss the game. Because A, he didn't, and B, we all like Evan. We're human. I promise you, there's a whole bunch of guys on the Ole Miss beat next year when Evan Ingram scores a touchdown with the Giants. We're all going to be like, man, that's great. Good for you. We like the kid. the person, not a kid anymore. But we've known him since he was 18, and we like him. You take away that personal connection, same situation, you're writing a lot about the drop touchdown. Because it was a big play. I don't know the kid.
Yeah, other kid doesn't get the break.
No.
It's factual. I mean, I'm not going after him. Just
I'm not ripping him as a human being when I write that he dropped a touchdown pass that would have given Missouri the win. But he dropped a touchdown pass that would have given Missouri the win. I don't know him.
No, it's
he's
people.
Just number 81 to me.
I mean, it's been 8 years ago now. Other than just covering it, knowing those people and knowing what they're dealing with. I mean, tough couple minutes there when you know, hey, I've got to write about Evan Button throwing a ball into the dirt past Matt Smith that allows Virginia to win a College World Series, or get a win that ends up sending them to the College World Series a day later.
Yes.
I mean, dang, Evan, good dude, always showed up, had been through some injuries, been through a lot, and you thought, you're not putting it off on another kid. You just go, God, why did it have to be him? Why that kid? Because that's not the one you want to you want to go there with when it's the story that is. But anyway, there's got to be at some point there's got to be the hand raiser. There's got to be the adult in the room that goes, you do realize that this is preparing you for that next level that you think you're so ready for, right, bud?
Yeah, Laramie Tunsil says hi.
Yeah, just strange dynamic, and I don't know that it's getting better. I think it's actually getting worse because of social media. They can have their own without without anything else there. So, anyway, good luck, Missouri. We have our own stuff going on from day to day, but I do wake up every morning really glad I do not cover the University of Missouri like Gabe DeArmonter, but always something with the Tigers in Columbia. So
always.
Awful. I mean, just consistently something. Podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts, full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo in the surrounding area. Now they also have skeeter beaters. Spray your yard for mosquitoes, whether you got a backyard cookout coming, whether you just want to eat out on your patio, or whether you got a game at a facility. Skeeter beaters can help you out. It's a part of MasterCuts. So when you give them a call, you sign that annual contract, they do their first cut for free, and you can ask them about mosquito maintenance as well. Do all those things with 662-607-7773 or MasterCutsLawn.com.
Hold on one second. I'm sorry. The podcast is, don't you hate when this happens to you? The podcast is also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South owned and operated by Kyle and Jordan Thornton. 7 South equipped with the largest staff in the Grove that can handle any of your tailgating needs. SEC only packages, full season packages, rental packages. It's all there. Here's what you need to know. 7 South typically sells out every game. You need to visit the site today. Secure your spot. If you give 7 South a try for a season, you'll never tailgate without them again. The site is 7southtailgating.com. You can reach them by cell 662-321-1682. Podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air serving Oxford and surrounding areas for the past 26 years. I've used them. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American Standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. You get same-day service, free estimates on new units, preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their site, comerheatingandair.com. Check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money, the vast majority of the bank's profits, go right back into the Oxford community. OUB right now has the Kisasa cash checking account. They'll pay you 2.5% interest on your balance up to $50,000. Refund your ATM fees nationwide. Kisasa has free online bill pay, mobile check deposit, and more using the OUB app. Right now, the one-year CD is 1.75% APY. The three-year triple option CD pays 2.01% APY and allows you to deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if the three-year CD rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Now let's talk to Barrett Salee of Sirius XM and just a little heads up here. I hadn't even told Neil this yet. I screwed up the recording a little bit, so you're going to miss us goofing off. You're going to miss us discussing Cobras and Alexa. I apologize for that, but it happens.
Way to go, Chase.
Yeah. I mean, I used an expletive this morning, and Neil wanted to know how serious it was. It could have been much more serious.
Yeah. But, well, every time you do that, I'm like, what?
Had I not hit the start button on Mike Dettillier, we would have a severe issue at the moment.
Yeah, but, we'd be having a fist fight right now. But
at the moment, it's just Barrett Salee and the two of us goofing off. However, you will pick up Barrett Salee's interview in a second in the middle of the first question that had any substance whatsoever about anything as we begin actual football talk. So,
okay. Good enough.
That's where we are. Barrett Salee now on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline.
Where and there are pigs being slaughtered.
Sure, without a doubt. I mean, you know, look, every school thinks the other school, the rival, is just they're cheating, Paul. Like, they're just completely dirty, right? But the five-star kids that sign with their school, they just really love amateurism. I mean, they love playing for free, and they love that, you know, red and blue, or that maroon and white, or the orange and blue, whatever. Like, that's not realistic. That's not real. That doesn't happen in this day and age. It really has never happened. So there's always stuff built in, and I think you know what the NCAA has tried to do with the new coaching responsibility rules, which, you know, Hugh Freeze is finding all about right now, and you know, Rick Pitino just found out about, and you know, Boeheim and Calhoun and some of these guys, is that, look, I mean, if you're gonna do stuff that's unsavory, at least be responsible about it. At least, you know, don't go. There's sort of an unwritten barrier that you can't cross, and if you cross it, you're going to get in some trouble.
What did you think of the Louisville ruling, and specifically, how do you think, what if anything, can you read from that ruling, in your opinion, into what's coming with Ole Miss?
I think you can read into it. I think it's good and bad for Ole Miss. The bad is that, you know, look, let's answer this really long-winded. I think the NCAA does a lot of things wrong when it comes to punishment. Vacating wins is silly. It doesn't mean anything. I think docking extensive amounts of scholarships is also silly, because a lot of times the people you're docking scholarships from have nothing to do with what actually went down, and you're hurting people that didn't do anything. I actually like the coaching responsibility aspect of it, and I think that should be a bigger part of punishment moving forward. But with Louisville, I mean, you look at what they did in taking away a national championship. That matters. Like, that's the one part of vacating penalties that I think actually means something. So from that aspect of it, I think it's clear that they're out for blood. They're going to try to hurt programs. For Ole Miss, that probably means you better watch out for another year of a bowl ban, because if that happens, players can leave, and then, you know, it's a dire version of the death penalty. You know, a program like Ole Miss is going to probably take a little while longer to come back from something like that than maybe USC or even a Penn State, which, you know, they lifted the Penn State restrictions, but that was after players had already left. So that's the bad for Ole Miss. The good for Ole Miss is that Rick Pitino only getting 5 games for facilitating prostitutes for players who were minors is a joke. I mean, that, in the grand scheme of things, what Hugh Freeze is accused of doing pales in comparison to that. Now, I know he's mentioned in the notice of allegations a lot, and really they interviewed a bunch of folks from Rick Pitino's case, and none of them could corroborate it, but what they're accused of is essentially the same thing, right? It's more or less an extra benefits case, and in Hugh Freeze's case, it's more of a traditional, I would say, extra benefits. And in Pitino's case, it was more slimy and seemingly dirty case of extra benefits. And, you know, the idea that they had to put a money value on that is just laughable. So I think if you're Hugh Freeze, you're sitting around going, okay, I'm accused of something harsher by the NCAA, and I'm accused more. But in reality, common sense has to take over and say, if you're Hugh Freeze, the argument's like, if I did what I did, and Rick Pitino only got 5 games, what do I get? I think it has to be less than that, and certainly from a football perspective, it's going to be less anyway. So, you know, I think from a personal perspective, from a coaching responsibility perspective, it's not necessarily a good sign for Ole Miss, but there's a little bit of a window. There's a reason for hope.
I know you've heard about some of the lawsuits that have been filed and probably are going to be filed. The one specifically that has been filed for sure, and we've talked to a lot of the people involved in it, is the Rebel Rags and Terry Warren have filed suit against Lindsey Miller, Kobe Jones, Leo Lewis, and a lot of John Does. I'm going to assume
here
that,
those are.
I'm going to assume here that you are not one of the John Does, and therefore you can comment on your thoughts on this. This could have
although
been
Mississippi State fans would probably conceive of a conspiracy theory in which I was. But go ahead.
This could probably lead, frankly, if there are no retractions, if it's not taken, if allegation number 9 is not taken out of the second NOA, this is very likely to lead to a deposition under oath at some point for Leo Lewis, for Kobe Jones. The possibilities there are fascinating.
Yeah, very fascinating, and probably pretty scary for Greg Sankey. Because, look, I mean, you know, let's get this out of the way. The lawsuit from Tiger Rags is multi-layered. It's very vindictive. It's very petty. It's very gotcha out to get Mississippi State. But it's very valid in the sense that, you know, if they have to disassociate themselves from Ole Miss, they're out of business, right? So, you know, it's fascinating. So it's a last shot. You're basically unloading all the bullets if you're Rebel Rags right now. And, you know, I think it's something that I would say that Ole Miss, the school, doesn't necessarily, you know, isn't a part of, but certainly knows about and is okay with. Because, again, you know, it's obvious that the NCAA is coming after Ole Miss. That's not breaking news by any stretch of any imagination. But it is also true that the NCAA, if they can get somebody under oath, they're all for that. Like, that's the golden goose. Like, ask Nevin Shapiro how that went down when he was asked questions by, in his bankruptcy case by a lawyer who was paid by the NCAA. So, you know, I think the NCAA is kind of licking its chops now saying, okay, we still can get Ole Miss, because I think they will get Ole Miss. There'll be some stuff added on, you know, even if allegation number 9 is taken out. And we get to show our teeth a little more, because what Leo Lewis could say or Kobe Jones could say or whatever could lead in, you know, you name it, how many directions. It could directly implicate Mississippi State because they're Mississippi State players. It could lead to anybody else that recruited any of those guys getting into trouble. So the NCAA loves that. So, you know, I'm with you. I'm fascinated by it. You know, it's not going to, you know, end well for Ole Miss, because the NCAA is still going to, I think, add some more stuff to it, but it may not be as severe as anticipated, because what if they do get under oath and you know, they're able to poke some holes or retract their statements altogether, and then you have to, you know, take away some allegations from the second notice. So it's going to be interesting to see what goes down, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's more law to come.
You mentioned it a second ago. What is Greg Sankey doing? I mean, I know he recuses himself from the committee and he does all that stuff, and, you know, out in the open, maybe he can't have any impact here, but he's running through a possibility here of at least getting some Southwest Conference light stuff going on, depending on how this plays off. And at the same time, he's doing nothing PR and marketing-wise other than talking about vacations and food and hotel rooms at the College World Series. It just seems like a complete and utter tone deafness.
It does, but I was thinking about this. I don't know what he can do.
Oh, I know. I mean, that's what I mean. It's kind of a crazy thing here.
Yeah, because, I mean, clearly he wants people that break the rules to get punished. I mean, he's not going to sit there and, like, play favorites. You know, he can't sit there and say, you know, you can't testify because you're going to implicate yourself, Mississippi State players. Like, that, he can't do that because, you know, he needs to be fair and balanced. But then, at the same time, by being fair and balanced probably means you're going to open up a whole can of worms within your own conference. So I think, you know, his role now is, I would guess his mindset is, okay, just, you know, let this play out. It's going to suck for the SEC. And then tell everybody afterwards, all right, no more of this. If you're going to go after each other, you're going to hurt everybody. And that's bad for the SEC. A lot like, you know, Mike Slive did back in 2009 when Urban Meyer and Lane Kiffin were going at each other. So I don't know if there's any other thing he can do other than just let this sort of play out and remind everybody, hey, a rising tide does lift all boats. You guys forgot that for a little while. Let's get back to that.
Well, two things of speculation on that. We don't know. I'm just asking, though. One, why was that not the MO the entire time? Why did that change from Slive? And then two, do you think he knows everything, or do you think he believes everything that happens at the Sausage Factory, or is he a true believer?
I don't know why that wasn't the case at all times. I think maybe just for, you know, there was a momentary, I wouldn't say lapse of judgment, because, I mean, look, at this point, you know, Rebel Rags has to look out for itself, and it's not under the auspices of the FEC, so what does it care that much? But does he believe, is he a true believer that the sausage is all clean? I would say probably not. I think that he builds in more plausible deniability in himself and the conference than these coaches do. So I just don't think that he wants to go down this road and needs to remind everybody, again, if you're going to cheat, be a little more, be smarter about it. And that's, I think, what really, you know, led to this problem. This does trace back to Ole Miss. If they did what, you know, even part of what they're accused of doing, they're not very good at cheating. You know, you have to be a little smarter about it than that.
Yeah, for a program that cheats the way they're accused of cheating, they get killed on signing day 3 out of 4 years.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's what I keep, and I said this on Time Bomb last week. When it comes to Ole Miss, you know, they want to keep Hugh Freeze for obvious reasons, because he's one with a talent gap. I mean, when they went to New Year's Six bowl games, they couldn't run between the tackles, and they had no offensive line. Even with Laramie Tunsil, they had no offensive line. So, you know, it's not like Hugh Freeze was beating rosters that were lesser than him. He was beating teams that had better rosters than him. And again, going back to the original point when we started, those kids ain't going to those schools because of love amateurism. It's just not true.
What, I'm curious. I shouldn't even ask. I shouldn't be interested. I know Paul. I haven't talked to Paul in 8 years. What was his response to that?
I mean, he said it was he agreed with me. I mean, anybody that watched Ole Miss back then, you know, knows they had a lot of really good players, but there was a big gap. It was superstar, which was, you know, Robert Condici, Tony Connor when he was healthy, you know, those guys, and Laquan Treadwell. And then a big gap down to some all right guys, but not stars by any stretch. And, you know, I think the more time goes along, I think that message gets across. It's like, look, you know, Hugh, and I even said this on another show yesterday, you know, Hugh's a good coach. Hugh's proven that he's a good coach. And, you know, that gap in talent was real. And, you know, it's in this day and age of hot takes, people forget that and seem to just assume that there were like 7-star kids all over the Ole Miss roster, which is not true.
Let's say for kicks and giggles that Ole Miss doesn't get a second year at a bowl ban, but that Freeze gets hit pretty hard. Let's call it, just for the sake of this argument, and no, people, I'm not saying this is what's coming. It's just hypothetical. Say it's a 6-game suspension, which is pretty heavy.
Okay.
Does this impact him in the eyes of recruits? Because ultimately, that's all that matters.
You know, I don't think so. 6 games, I would imagine if it's 6 games, that would be the final 6 games of the year based on the way the timeline sort of seems to be shaken out, at least temporarily.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Let's say that's the deal, that he gets suspended in the middle of October and he can't coach the last 6 games of the season. Just for total kicks and giggles and to keep it clean. He can't be around the program. He can't recruit. He can't do anything until the Monday after the Egg Bowl. How much does that impact the program, and how much does it impact Hugh Freeze going forward?
I don't think it impacts Hugh Freeze going forward. It will certainly impact the program, and I'll tell you exactly why. That takes the coach out of the mix for the final 2 months leading up to the early signing period, and that's a problem because, you know, a lot of the folks we talked to, the coaches we talked to in Destin, said somewhere between 60 to 90% of their classes they anticipate to be in December. So I don't think it'll impact you long term, you know, because, again, if it's just the coaching penalty but not a lot of scholarship restrictions, they feel like they can win with him with you know, rosters that are a little bit unbalanced. But it would directly hurt this recruiting class because you're basically taking away your head coach. Now, we don't really know how much behind-the-scenes stuff he could do, but he won't be able to do a ton for the final stretch run before the first ever early signing period, and that's a big deal.
Last thing before we let you go, I'm not even going to ask football questions. What at media days, the 4 days that we're there, when we could do this in two, but the 4 days that we're there, other than the Ole Miss story, what's the big story that's going to come there? Is it because a lot of this gets handled in Destin now?
Yeah, I mean, aside from Ole Miss, I mean, the Mississippi State aspect, because I do believe the tentative date for those depositions is like July 19th or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's a week after. So I think that, you know, sort of side story with the Ole Miss thing is going to be big. You know, and we'll see if any news breaks on how those stories might or might not change between now and then. And then, you know, I think just the fact that there's so many coaches that I think have had enough time to figure it out who haven't. You know, it's crazy to think that since 2013, when Gus Malzahn and Brett Bielema were hired, there's been one coach in the SEC West fired, and that was Les Miles. And I remember specifically at the time, I think Dan Mullen got a contract extension to $4 million shortly thereafter. We all said, oh my God, everybody's making over $4 million in the SEC West. Somebody's going to get fired this year. And this year hasn't happened yet. Like, it just, aside from Les Miles, it's just like, all right, you know, just okay has been sort of good enough for a lot of these coaches up until now, and I think that's got to change.
Well, the recruiting calendar has been sped up so much, Barrett, that now to fire a coach, you really have to be willing to hit the reset button for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, you do. And that's, I think, an interesting aspect of it, because this year I think it's going to be a lot like last year in the sense that you have sort of a big white whale sort of hanging over the sport, this one being Chip Kelly, last year being Tom Herman. And look what happened. I mean, LSU fired Les Miles specifically to go after Tom Herman. They took their shot. They missed. You know, is Texas A&M willing to do that with Chip Kelly? Is Notre Dame willing to do that with Chip Kelly? Who else is willing to do that, too? It's going to be fascinating, I think, just the pressure on these coaches, because at some point, and I think points now for a lot of these guys, you kind of just are what your record is.
Well, Barrett, we really appreciate your time. Look forward to seeing you in Birmingham for SEC Media Days. And if we don't talk to you before, then have a happy 4th and enjoy your summer.
All right, guys. Thanks, and enjoy the soap opera down there.
We will. Thanks, buddy. Our thanks to Barrett Salee for joining us on the Oxford Exxon podcast. He joined us via the Rebel Locker Room hotline. The Rebel Locker Room, West Jackson Avenue in Oxford. It's the place to go to get all of your officially licensed Ole Miss gear, all the styles, all the colors, everything you're looking for as football season gets closer and you get geared up for the season. You can get it at the Rebel Locker Room. Ole Miss football season tickets available, OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. The podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He is a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes, by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. Go to his site, gotland.com. That's got-land.com. Read his recent testimonials. Check out his track record. Look online. See the properties that he has listed. And then understand this. The land market is very hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call today. He's ready to meet with you, explain the process. He says if he can't earn your business in that meeting, he doesn't deserve it. You can call him at 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
So, trying to think where to go here. Thanks to Barrett. Appreciate that. Always something. Always something. I don't know. What? He gave his answers. What do you think, Media Day? What's it going to be like?
A lot of questions being fired at people. A lot of national media trying to impress each other.
Same as always.
Same as it always is. I suspect Hugh Freeze will be prepared. If he's not prepared, that's on Ole Miss. And if he doesn't give the answers that are prepared for him, that's on him.
Because you know what's coming.
Got to know it's coming.
We've been through that song and dance.
More interested to see what players they bring. Ooh. How the players handle it.
Who would you take?
Well, you know me now. I'm a believer that you take the kids that the media wants to talk to.
So you take?
I take Shea.
Okay.
I take Marquise Haynes.
Okay.
And I take maybe Van Jefferson. He can handle it.
Would you factor in ability with the media into who you take?
I mean, to a degree, yes. But you're running a college program. If you can't get these guys ready for a press conference.
I don't even necessarily mean saying the right things. I just mean literally comfort in that setting.
Yeah, perhaps. Shea can handle this. Good Lord. He's been interviewed since he was like in diapers.
Still my favorite part of all this.
Yeah, you can't talk to Shea. People were talking to Shea when he was in the eighth grade.
It's like Shea's been on our podcast at 8 o'clock in the morning. He woke up for it with no guidance whatsoever, yeah. And he was fine. It's been all right.
Marquise has done a lot of interviews. He's fine.
He's done the whole Chucky circuit.
Yeah, and then you get somebody else that the media wants to talk to. You bring four players or three?
Usually three. Three.
Yeah. I don't know who else you take.
Van
would be good.
Jordan Wilkins?
Yeah, Jordan would be real good. It's a good story. You'll say the right thing.
Yeah.
And tell them you're going to get asked about bowl bans. NCAA.
Just answer
it. Answer it. Yeah. Quit acting like it's stop. Just answer the damn question.
Just chill.
The majority of the media, and when I say majority, I do mean overwhelming majority, are not looking for a gotcha moment.
No.
You know what they're looking for at Media Days?
Copy.
I need a quote.
I need a note.
I need a note for this. I'm doing a story about this. I'm doing a story that I'm going to run in August about, hey, Shay, what defense was the hardest to face? Which defense is the hardest to prepare for? Which blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, most dudes go into that and they ask the same question to 47 people.
And by the end of it, Ole Miss goes on the last day. Man, they're done. They're kind of like, at that day, the first couple days, people are ready to get done so they can go drink.
They're ready to go home.
The last day, they were ready to get done because they're ready to go home.
Yeah.
The gotcha thing? Nah, not much of that.
No.
I mean, there's some of it, but not much.
Yeah. Before we move on, tell you that the podcast also brought to you by Right Way Meds, located in Highland Springs, such a typical pharmacy we've been telling you about for a really long time. Let them deliver your medicine to your door where they come in strip packets. Tear out the first dose of the day, next dose ready when you are. Can help save lives, can help you manage that medication. Also, if you're a doctor or a compliant or a medical provider, let them help with compliance numbers. Huge deal today, and they can assist you with that. So get it to your door. Don't have to worry about going to the pharmacy and get some help along the way. Rightwaymeds.com, 855-252-1011. I promised this yesterday, so we'll go through it quickly as we get ready to close today's show. Go through this fast. The draft picks from yesterday. Okay. Yeah, you got John Hamm on the Beer Garden. That'll be up later today. But we had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 273 win shares, the first best number one pick of all time, best number two pick of all time. Bill Russell, 163 win shares.
Yeah,
beats out an interesting group here: Jerry West, Gary Payton, and Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd, the number four best second pick of all time.
And when it's all said and done, it might be Kevin Durant when he's finished.
Yeah, 138 win shares currently for in the past 15 drafts, only two number two picks to become All-Stars are LaMarcus Aldridge and Kevin Durant.
Wow.
Number two picks, 15 years.
Not good news for Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, I know. Michael Jordan, obviously, at 3, 214. He beats out Pau Gasol, Chauncey Billups, and Buck Williams, a 1981 member of the New Jersey Nets.
Yeah, good players.
Chris Paul at number 4, 154 win shares. Dikembe Mutombo on that list. Chris Bosh on that list.
Yeah.
Sam Perkins on that list.
Yeah.
Kevin Garnett at number 5. Charles Barkley, Ray Allen, Scottie Pippen, and Vince Carter are their number 5s.
Ooh.
That's a good little list right there, bud.
Give me the 5th pick.
Number 6, Larry Bird topping it out, beating out Lenny Wilkins, Hershey Hawkins, and Shane Battier. Shane Battier on the list at number 6.
Had a good career.
Number 7, John Havlicek, beating out Chris Mullin, Kevin Johnson, Steph Curry on that list currently, by the way. Number 8, Robert Parrish. Just kind of looking for anything interesting at this point. Dirk Nowitzki at number 9. No shock there. Being out Sean Marion, number 2 all time for that pick.
Really?
Sean Marion.
Wow.
Tracy McGrady, or Amari Stoudemire also on that list. Paul Pierce at number 10. Reggie Miller at 11. 12 is Chet Walker, older player, obviously. Karl Malone next. Clyde Drexler. Not clear. I guess Steve Nash is in there at 15. Just kind of looking. John Stockton at 16, so two Jazz early on. Sean Kemp, Mark Jackson, Rod Strickland, and then the 20th pick, Larry Nance. So quick little rundown there. Pretty interesting stuff. You can see that at ESPN.
I remember Karl Malone coming out of Louisiana Tech, and he didn't go until like 14 or something. And I remember thinking, and I was a kid.
Got a shot here.
I remember thinking, that's a steal.
Yeah. All right, we will be back tomorrow with Mike Dettier and more. I'm sure something will happen in the next 22 hours or so. So talk to you then. Andy Staples on Friday. Hope you enjoyed it.